Well, good morning. My name is Josh. I'm the student pastor here at Crosshaven Church. So if you're visiting with us, know that we welcome you here. I just want to say that again. I know you've been welcome, but we're glad that you are worshiping with us. As Harris already said this morning, our pastor, Jason Murphy, is not with us this morning. He and his family are out of town. As many of you know, Jason just finished his Doctor of Ministry degree with the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and yesterday was his graduation. So he was able to walk and wear the little floppy hat and get what they call hooded on stage, kind of officially be done with that Doctor of Ministry program. And I know he is super thrilled, and we are super proud of him. So Murph, if you're watching, if you're listening, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to stand in the gap this morning and preach for you. We honor you, and we thank you for what you do for this church. So we are just super happy to be here this morning. I want to say to all our mothers here, happy Mother's Day. But I also want to not just do that this morning, but acknowledge all mothers in just a little bit. So before we do that, let's pray and let's ask God's blessing over our time together. Father, we love you, God. We thank you for the gift of life. And God, we thank you for the opportunity to worship. And God, I pray that this morning, God, that we would honor you. God, as we look at your word, God, I pray that you would open our hearts. God, unveil our minds, unveil our hearts to see truth this morning, to see what you would have us to see. So God, be with this time in your word together for your name, for the fame of your name, for the ministry of this church, for the building of your kingdom. God, we love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. In 2001, I happened upon a girl and spent 5 years pondering the value of that pearl. She was beautiful and she was free, all full of love and feeling, and so I sold my singleness gladly and God willing. And I never once looked back for fear of what I missed. If ever God was good to me, it was the wedding kiss. 5 years and happy were the first without a child to bless, and so we cultivated joy in fields of faithfulness. Then, like a mighty let there be from Genesis page one, another soul was born on earth, and we beheld a son. But I had eyes for something more, to watch God make another. Out of a girl, my high school pearl, I watched him make a mother. A kind revelation this, just as the ancients say, how much of Christ there is to see in her maternal way. 5 years and two more happy sons, all priceless to the minutes, are like an unrolled open scroll with God's own message in it. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, though all the world has gazed, but when a woman fears the Lord, she shall be truly praised. And don't like be overly impressed this morning. I stole much of that poem. I'll just be honest there, but that is a tribute to my wife, who is the mother of our three sons. And I'm super blessed to have her as a friend, as a partner, as a wife and a mother. And we want to acknowledge mothers this morning. It is Mother's Day, after all. I'll go ahead and forewarn you, my message is not going to be particularly super Mother's Day-ish. It is about mothers, though. We'll get to that. But we, like I said, I want to acknowledge. I think often we forget that as good as Mother's Day is, I am blessed with an awesome mother who is here this morning, an awesome wife and mother of our children. I've even been blessed with an awesome mother-in-law. Amen. Right. So you know, but I realize not everybody has that story. You know, Mother's Day is as much of a blessing and a positive day it is for me. For many, it's a hard day. And we want to acknowledge that. So to those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate you. To those who has lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those mothers who are in the trenches with little ones every day and food stains as badges, we appreciate you. To those who've experienced loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or runaways, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes and prods and tears and disappointments, we walk with you. And on a note on that, forgive us when we say foolish things and we don't understand. We don't mean to, but no, we walk with you in those times. to those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we celebrate you and we need you. To those who have warm and close friendships with your children, we celebrate you. To those who've had disappointments, heartaches, and distance with your own children, we sit with you and we're here for you. To those who've lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who've experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who've lived through driving tests, medical tests, and the overall testings of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we pray with you. To those who step-parent, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those who have empty nesters this upcoming year, we grieve and rejoice with you. To those who've placed children up for adoption, we commend your selflessness, and we remember how you hold that child in your heart. To those who are pregnant with new life, both expecting and surprising, we anticipate with you. So this Mother's Day from Crosshaven Church, we walk with you and we remember you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and there are some real warriors in our midst. So as a church, we say, Happy Mother's Day. Amen. 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 All right. With that said, we're back in Galatians, so if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, open your Bible to Galatians chapter 4. Our pastor's been walking through the book of Galatians verse by verse, chapter by chapter for the last several weeks. We ended up in chapter 3 last week. I'm going to jump ahead to chapter 4. So, like I said, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, we're going to be in Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 21. And I'm going to read this text all in its entirety. It's a few verses here. And kind of as a overview, kind of a flyover, shot across the bow type effort. Just going to read it in its entirety, and then we're going to break it down kind of verse by verse as we go. So Galatians chapter 4, if you're there in verse 21, read along with me as I read aloud. It was very testing, state testing-ish. Sorry about that. Verse 21, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother, for it is written, Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at the time who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. Now, that's a lot. That's a lot. You know, I'm never surprised. Well, I'm always surprised, really. But it amazes me that all the different ways that Paul uses to describe our salvation, our standing, and our place before God. And here he uses some interesting things. But if you remember, Paul's writing to the church at Galatia. And Murph's already went through this, but for the sake of any guests in the room, I'm just going to give you a brief background. All right, the church in Galatia was being influenced to reject the true gospel, which is justification by faith alone. All right, they were being asked to follow certain works of the law along with their standing with the gospel. Jesus came, died on the cross for their sins, said, follow me, repent and believe. Justification by faith. Well, the church in Galatia was getting a false gospel, saying you've got to add to it. That's true, but you've got to do this also. So there were all these different things being added to faith alone. And Paul's addressing that, and he's teaching that that's not the case. It's law or it's freedom. As one fellow pastor here at the church said, it's like two circles, two hoops. There's slavery to the law. There's freedom in Christ. So they don't mix. All right, so Paul's addressing that through the entire book of Galatians. So we're there. All right, so there's nothing in addition to faith in Christ. And then he gives us this text in verse 21 through 31. All right, and as amazing it is, it takes a little bit of sorting out. Takes a little bit of sorting out to know exactly what he's talking about. So I'm just going to give you the bottom line this morning before we get going. So the bottom line is this: who your spiritual mother is makes all the difference. All right, that's why I titled this sermon, Slave or Free, Who's Your Mama? All right, who's your mama? Because that's what Paul's talking about. He's making this connection, this metaphor, this allegory of spiritual mother to standing in Christ. And it makes all the difference. All right, because it indicates our status before God. All right, whether you're slave or free, one leading to death, the other to life, one to bondage, the other to freedom. All right? It's the issue. It's the issue of this entire text. So Paul gets at this issue in three steps, three things. The first being, he starts with some history. On your back of your newsletter, you've got some blanks. And I think we're going to have some stuff on the screen. Hopefully you can take some notes. But the very first thing in these first three verses here, Paul begins with history. Verse 21 says, "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law?" All right, Paul's saying, do you not read the very thing that you claim to follow? Do you not read it? Do you not listen to it? The Old Testament regulations, how you live right, you're standing before God, all the consequences thereof. He said, do you not even read it? There's a lot. Okay. I was blinking back here. I thought we're having trouble. But he said, because if you read it, it's clear. It's clear. He said, do you not listen? Verse 22, for it is written in the law that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. Josh Knight read from John chapter 8 earlier in the service, and the Jews there in the city said, you know, we are children of Abraham. He's the father of our nation. We've been slaves to no one. Here Paul is acknowledging that. Abraham is the father of the Israelites, a spiritual father to those who are in Christ. Murph even used that text from Galatians 3, verse 7 last week. And Abraham had two sons, Ishmael by Hagar and Isaac by Sarah. Two sons, two women. All right, that's the history. That's what he's setting up. Verse 23, but the son of the slave, that would be Ishmael from Hagar, was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman, that would be Isaac from Sarah, was born through promise. So Abraham had two sons, Paul said, but they're very different. Vastly different. One was born according to human desires. One was born according to promise. A promise referring to a word from God that was fulfilled by God. Two vastly different scenarios. So that's what he says when Isaac was born through a promise. God said it would happen. God made it happen. All right? Remember the circumstance? You guys remember this? You remember the story? All right, so Abraham was the father of Israel. He said, God said, go. Abraham went. By faith, Abraham believed, right? I mean, he's the father of Israel, really important guy in the Old Testament. And God promised him that through his seed, the nation of Israel will be blessed. All right, so Abraham was a little bit older in years. That was Genesis chapter 12, if you're Old Testament kind of taking notes there. By the time we get to Genesis chapter 16, Abraham is, like I said, he's older. Sarah is 80, and she is barren. No child, no fulfillment of that promise, and she is probably worried. So what does she do? She takes matters into her own hands and says, Abraham, you go, you be with your servant Hagar, she can have you a son, we'll get this thing going. All right, God promised it, but let's take it into our hands, let's do it. She was self-reliant. See, there are two basic approaches to God. Two basic approaches. There's self-reliance, and there's divine dependence. Two basic approaches to God. Sarah, maybe she thought she was helping. Maybe she thought God forgot. Maybe she thought that she was doing God a favor by jump-starting this thing. But what she did was she took matters into her own hands. And God didn't forget. God didn't, you know, take back his promise. It just wasn't time. It just wasn't time. I mean, come on, that's huge. How many of you can relate to that? God has saved you, has radically changed your life. You're walking in him, but maybe there's this thing, maybe there's this promise, maybe there's this goal that God has given you, and it's not happening, and you're frustrated. All right, find hope there. The promises of God will be fulfilled in God's time. Amen. In God's time. Fully reliant on God. Be dependent. Be God dependent. Don't be independent. He's using this history to set up the story that he's about to talk about between the differences of slavery and freedom. So after Sarah took matters into her own hands, we see this. Hagar had a son. She's the servant. Well, 10 years later, God fulfilled his promise. All right? God fulfilled his promise. Sarah was 90-ish in years, and she had a son. Now, son was named Isaac, which means laughter, because that was what Sarah did when God said you would have a son. She laughed like, sure, you know, I'm old, but I imagine God had the last laugh when she was in the throes of labor at 90-ish. So there's the history that Paul used to set up this larger truth. See, the most important thing about this history is it represents a larger truth. All right? Because they illustrate something bigger. They illustrate something more. And the larger truth is this. Think about it. One came by works, and one came by faith. One came by works, and one came by faith. One was independent, and one was God-dependent. One was self-reliant, and one was divine dependence. Two very different things. And I think that applies to us as well. I mean, how many of us find ourselves taking matters into our own hands because maybe we think God didn't hear our prayer or didn't hear our cry or is not there, when maybe it's just not his time? Maybe he's trying to say, just have a little more faith. Just hang on a little longer. Wake up one more day. Take one more step. You know, larger truth. One came by works, the other came by faith. See, for Ishmael, it was slavery. But for Isaac, because of the divine dependence that God had done, for Isaac, it was blessing. Abraham did nothing. Sarah did nothing. Isaac did nothing. Completely God, and it led to blessing. Took matters in their own hands with Hagar and Ishmael, and it led to curse. One came by works, the other came by faith. Two massive differences, two different approaches to God, and that's the larger truth. Again, two approaches, self-reliance, divine dependence. One leading to bondage, the other to freedom. One to duty, the other to delight. One to death, the other to life. So do you see it? I mean, do you get that? Because this is what he's using to set it up. I mean, seriously, do you get it? Because it's going to be important to kind of know as we move forward. Are you self-reliant or are you God-reliant? Are you independent or are you God-dependent? That's the history. If you're independent and routinely take matters into your own hands, then you're a slave, just like Ishmael. A slave. Self-imposed slavery. But if it's God-dependent and you trust his way and his timing, then you're free like Isaac. And that's the point here. That's the point of this history. Freedom comes through Christ. So this is a way that we can honestly assess where we are. Honestly assess our standing. Are we slave or are we free? It's one or the other. That's what Paul's setting up. He's building these. He's making the hoops. Slavery or freedom. Now, the second way Paul gets to this point that he's making is through allegory. All right, and I'm very creative, so I just, you know, just listen to what it says in verse 20, 24. Now, this may be interpreted allegorically. You got to be sharp to get that. So point two is allegory. Paul tells us in verse 24, hey, I'm about to tell you a story that represents something bigger. So that's what allegory is. It's simply an illustration by analogy. All right, it's simply a story where people, places, and events represent other things. In this case, represent spiritual things. It's kind of like the book Pilgrim's Progress. Anybody ever read that book, Pilgrim's Progress? I recommend it if you haven't. It's good. But in the book, you've got characters that are named things like Christian and Hopeful and Faithful. And they travel to places like Doubting Castle, Hill of Difficulty. All right? Things that represent something else. All right? Represent a deeper spiritual truth. And Paul says that's exactly the case in the account of Sarah and Hagar. In addition to the facts and lessons we learned from them from Genesis, the book of Genesis, they also represent an allegorical point or an allegorical story that represents a spiritual point. So what can we learn from this? Well, Paul says it starts with two covenants. Look in verse 24. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. All right, that's the first of five parts of this allegory. And each part has two sides, and each item has a description. So it's going to be a lot of information, but just hang with me. All right, hang tight. Let's walk through it together. I'm going to put up, Mitchell has worked very hard of putting up this chart that I made that didn't translate very well to the screens, but we've got that for you so you can see it kind of broken out at the end. But the first thing he starts with is this covenant distinction. He said these two ladies represent something allegorically, and it being the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. All right? Old Covenant and New Covenant. Covenant of law and covenant of grace. So here's the first part. Hagar, Paul says, represents the Old Covenant. All right? First given to the Israelites in Mount Sinai. That was verse 24. All right? Then he says these women, all right, Sarah and Hagar, represent these covenants. It's a metaphorical way to say that the law leads to a lineage of bondage. And Hagar represents that in this allegory. All right, he even calls her out by name in verse 25. Now he says Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. Now why bring out Arabia? What's that got to do with anything? All right, Arabia at that time was commonly considered the land that was possessed by the Ishmaelites. Okay? All right, remember, Isaac, Ishmael, you know, works, freedom, right, from the history. So Isaac was a son of promise. So Ishmael, all right, represents slavery and sin. And so this Arabia was the land commonly possessed by the Ishmaelites. So that's why he throws that in. Now, the end of verse 25, okay, if Paul would have had a microphone, this would be like mic drop moment. All right, because look what he says at the end of verse 25. She, Hagar, corresponds to the present Jerusalem, referring to the city and its people. All right, for she, Jerusalem, is in slavery with her children. So he says Arabia, but then he says represents Jerusalem. Jerusalem was where all the Judaizers were, all the Jews who thought they were in the in crowd, right? Thought they were the one, hey, we're the people of God, Father Abraham, we've been slaves to no one. Remember John chapter 8? And Paul says, no, you're just like the Ishmaelites. You're on the outside looking in, brother. Because Hagar represents you. Lineage of bondage. Lineage of slavery. That's the Old Covenant. And that's what he says. I mean, he's basically saying that although these Jews, all right, he was saying, spiritually speaking, they were Ishmaelites. So in this allegory, the present Jerusalem, the Jerusalem below, represents the people in the world who would reject the gospel, and who are slaves to sin. All right? Who reject the gospel and are slaves to sin. Doesn't matter if you are an Israelite, if you live in Jerusalem, all right, what Jesus did on the cross, the gospel that is being preached here in the New Testament, he's saying if you reject this gospel, you are on the outside looking in. You are no different than Hagar and the Ishmaelites who aren't in the circle. All right, when Paul was writing that to the Galatians, he was making that point about the Judaizers and the Jews in that area, I mean, that's very offensive language. All right, so it's meaning something deeper spiritually. slaves to works, children of bondage. That's the spiritual, that's the allegorical spiritual line of Hagar. All right, the next part of the analogy is this. Look in verse 26. But Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. All right, he's speaking to believers here. I mean, did you catch that? Jerusalem above is our personal, our mother. Paul paints this heavenly picture, all right, to convey that those of faith are children of blessing, children of righteousness, children of freedom. Jerusalem above, as part of the allegory, is our mother. In other words, just as Jerusalem below comprised of sinners, he's saying Jerusalem above is comprised of saints. All right, for us in our day, in this day and time of the New Testament, the church, all right, that's what he's talking about, the church of Jesus Christ, those who've had believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, those who've repented and believed in him are part of this spiritual line of Sarah. She is our mother. So what does this mean? It's saying those of faith are as free can be. Whom the Son sets free, you are free indeed. He said, those who are of the household of faith, those who believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is, again, keep in context, that's who he's talking to here in Galatia. He's saying, you as a Galatian church, you've been established on the gospel of Jesus. People are trying to come in, they're trying to add to it, they're trying to take away, they're trying to make justification by faith alone something that it's not. And he's saying, that is slavery. He's saying, but you, the Jerusalem above, is our mother. Christ alone is enough. And with Christ, we are children of blessing, children of righteousness, children of promise. Just like Isaac was a child of promise. Had nothing to do with Isaac, nothing to do with Isaac's mom, nothing to do with Isaac's dad. It was a promise of God, said by God, fulfilled by God, came to pass by God. And he's saying, through faith in Christ, it is not you, it is Christ who's done it, and you are free. Because of the gift that God has given. Not what we can do or add to it. All right? Allegorical story representing spiritual truths. Look at the reason he gives for this citizenship. Verse 27. For it is written, rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Here, Paul is quoting from Isaiah chapter 54. Okay, it's a quote that was written 750 years earlier. All right, but he's quoting from Isaiah 54. See, in the nation of Israel then, when Isaiah wrote this, all right, God was, they had sinned, Israel had sinned, and God was sending a nation to destroy them. All right, you know, very happy stuff, right? Sending a nation to destroy Israel here. And Isaiah's prophesying about that. And that's why Isaiah prophesied in chapter 53, which a lot of people know, is when he said, you know, that there will be one who will be wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, right? One who's coming. Isaiah 53, talking about Jesus. Because when Jesus came or would come, it was going to change everything. And he goes right into chapter 54. And that's when he says, sing or rejoice, O barren one who did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have been in labor. In other words, you who had no hope of godly offspring. For the children of the desolate one, that was Jerusalem, all right, the people of God, after their destruction, this is a prophecy, will be more than the children of her who's married. And he was referring to the nation that was going to come and destroy Israel. He said, but just wait. Yes, there's going to be destruction, but just wait. Because the one who is coming is so much more. Amen. And although things look bleak, although things look like the children of the one who's married, they've got it all together, they've come in and taken over the nation, although that's going to happen, says the Lord, just wait. Because you will be more. One day, because of what he said in the chapter before, there's one who's coming that's going to be wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our sin, and by his stripes we're going to be healed. He's coming. All right, representing different, deeper spiritual things. All right, so Isaiah was saying, he was speaking this to the physical Jerusalem. He was writing his day to his people, but it's being applied by Paul here in Galatians to us, to the spiritual Jerusalem, to our day today, to say it's happened, it's a reality right now, this prophecy from the past being fulfilled now in the present by our virtue in faith in Christ, not in anything else, but faith in Christ. We play a part. God plays a part through us, but we're part of God bringing to life barren lives and giving them life, just like he did with Sarah, a barren womb, and gave a promise. God changes hearts. The prophet Ezekiel said that he takes heart of stone and makes them heart of flesh. He does that through the gospel of Jesus. He changes lives miraculously every time somebody comes to faith and is part of this promise. The church, what we would consider today as the church. A heavenly city being built right here on earth. We're free in Christ and we are far from slavery. So it's a powerful allegory. It's a lot of things going on here. So if we've got that screen, Mitchell, throw it up just so you can kind of have it if you're a type A note taker. But you've got two basic columns. You've got slavery and freedom. All right, so you've got Hagar, who is part of the lineage of slavery, and you got Sarah on the contrasting side, is the lineage of freedom. You've got Ishmael and Isaac, way of flesh, way of promise. You got the old covenant, you got the new covenant. One's based on works, the other's based on faith. You've got Jerusalem below in this story, who represents the world, Jerusalem above, who represents the church. And then you've got children below, which represent those who reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, and children above here and in heaven that represent believers. So a lot going on in these three verses. A lot going on. But it's representing us. That's the point. That's the point here. That's the story. That's the allegory representing spiritual truth, because we're a part of that. We have to see which side of this are you on. It applies to me. It applies to you. Are we on the side of slavery? Or we are self-reliant, independent, way of flesh? We base everything on what we can do to make us right with God? Or are we on the side of freedom? And by grace alone, we are saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, so that no one can boast. Are we on the side of freedom? Powerful, powerful allegory. One side slavery, one side freedom. We're either free in Christ or we're slaves to works. One or the other. We're dependent on God or we rely on ourselves. Now, don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do good works. I'm not saying that. All right, Paul said the very thing in Ephesians chapter 2. He said we were created for good works, that we should walk in them. God has prepared them for us. All right, but what he is saying here, the point he's making, but we never do those things. We never add those things to salvation as a way to justify ourselves, as a way to live this moralistic code that if we do more good than bad, then we're okay. Right, that doesn't clarify our standing. That doesn't help our lineage. We're either sons of bondage or we're sons of freedom. And it's not us that does it. It's God that does it. Now, we should try to live, all right, and imitate Christ and walk in his ways. All right? We obey the premises there, the principles. All right? But we're not bound by the particulars. And we're not bound by the consequences. All right, which is a really, really good thing if you read Leviticus. Really good thing. All right. If we do works to justify ourselves, then it's simply not biblical. It's simply not free. It's self-imposed slavery. So which is it, slave or free? Which side of the allegory are you on? Which side best reflects your life? Are you free in Christ? Or are you a slave to works? So there's history, and there's allegory, and then last, there's application. So number three is application. And that's what we get in the last part of this text. All right, application. There's three points here that I want to make, and then we're going to be done. All right? So starting verse 28. Now you brothers and sisters in Christ, like Isaac, are children of promise. It's a statement of fact. You are a child of promise. That having put our faith in Christ, God promises us to save us from sin, adopt us into his family, and dwell with us forever, making us children of promise. And this is Paul's straightforward declaration. This is where it just comes out. Boom. Children of promise. That's you. Because remember, he's writing to the church at Galatia. He's writing to those who've believed on the gospel, who were spreading the gospel. Then he gives us 3 points. Verse 28, all right, said you're children of promise. So this is in that one application. Know who you are and live like it. Okay, he said, now you brothers are children of promise. So we should know who we are and we need to live like it. We can rest assured that just like he says in verse 31, that we are not children of the slave, but we are a child of the free woman. So that takes the question, who's your mama? And it throws it out, right? It answers that question. You are a child of the free woman. You are a child of blessing. All right, if we go back to the history, that would say that, metaphorically, that'd be Sarah is our spiritual mother. Defined dependence by God. Nothing she did, nothing Abraham did. It was just faith and belief, and then God did it. All right, that's what the gospel is. When we trust and believe in the gospel, it's not us doing it. All right, it's we put our trust and hope and faith in Christ and Christ alone. And we become a child of blessing. That's how we know who we are and live like it. Live like it. Live out our faith. Live in freedom. Let chains be broken. Don't go back to the bondage of slavery. That's the point Paul's making here in Galatians. He said, don't put the law back in it. Don't make it more than it is. It's justification by faith. Now, the principles of the law, they're good to follow. I mean, hey, it's a good thing to honor our father and mother. I mean, it's Mother's Day, right? Honor your mother. That's a good thing. But we're not held to the same standard of the Old Testament law. We have grace given through Christ. Justification by faith alone. Christ alone. Freedom. One leading to bondage, one leading to freedom. Free in Christ. No longer thinking that it's up to us to get to heaven. All right, it's not. No longer wondering if we're part of the family. No longer wondering if we've already been or already are. I mean, none of that. We are in Christ if you know him. Repentance, belief, trust, and obedience. If Jesus is Lord of your life, your chains are gone. You've been set free, and you need to know who you are and live like it. Second thing Paul says here in verse 29, we should expect persecution and endure it. That's the second application. All right? Yes, we are free in Christ. No more lineage of slavery and lineage of bondage. We've been given faith in Christ, freedom in Christ, walking in Christ. But, as mentioned in our life group this morning, there's also a cost of discipleship. We should expect persecution and endure it. And endure it. It's not something new. Look in verse 29. Now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh, talking about Ishmael, going back to that history, persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. That was Isaac. So also it is now. See, the Bible tells us that Ishmael was older than Isaac and treated him with contempt. He laughed at him. He made fun of him. It's in Genesis 21. All right, so but from his mom to his name to his brother, it all seemed like Isaac was a part of this blessing. He couldn't get away from it, even if it got difficult at times. A constant reminder of where he had come. So Paul's saying the adverse influence, all right, of the Judaizers at this point on the church of Galatia wasn't something to not really be expected, okay? It was just like Ishmael trying to bring contempt on Isaac. The slave trying to, make it difficult for the free son. He's saying that the law, What the Judaizers are trying to push on the gospel, they're just trying to bring contempt to the freedom God's given you. They're just trying to bring contempt and add to and change and distort the message of hope in Christ. He said, don't worry about it. Endure it. It's going to happen. All right, I won't ask you to raise your hands, but if you've been a follower of Christ for any period of time, you've probably faced some difficulty in your life. And if you haven't, all right, spoiler alert, you will. It's going to happen. Okay, being a Christian, being a follower of Christ doesn't mean that life is going to be perfect. Doesn't mean that we're going to walk on these spiritual clouds all the time and, you know, cotton candy and bubble gum and where everything's just great. I mean, it doesn't mean that at all. It means that we can walk in freedom. We can walk with knowing that Christ has set us free, and we are free indeed, and our hope is eternal and not of this world. We're not bondages to slavery anymore. We're free in Christ, and that freedom comes with an eternal gift, and we can rest in that hope. But it doesn't mean life is going to be super easy all the time. But Paul's saying, just like he said, just like Ishmael tried to make Isaac's life difficult, there are going to be those who try to make your life difficult. I mean, persecution to the Christian faith, I mean, that's a tale as old as time. Happened to Jesus, happened to the disciples, happened to the apostles, what's happened here in Galatia, and it's probably happened to you. All right, it's going to happen. So as believers, as followers of Christ, what can we do? We can expect persecution and we can endure it. Know that we're standing, we're living in this hoop of freedom, that Christ has already set us free, and that gift is not going to be taken away. We're not going to be going back to the spirit of bondage, the yoke of slavery. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. My burden is light, right? He said, we're there. Endure. Find hope. And then there's the third part of this application. And that would be reject bad influences and be done with it. Reject bad influences and be done with it. It's a quote. He says in verse 30, cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. It's a quote from Genesis chapter 21. All right, so just like here, just like in that situation in Genesis, in Galatia, it was the circumcision party was opposed to the gospel. And Paul said, hey, Paul's like, look, get them out. You know, don't have anything to do with it. Don't reject it. Say, know what you know. Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not talking about rejecting people that just make mistakes or that do bad things. As a church, a church of Jesus Christ, even Big C Church, that is not what the church is about. All right? It wasn't what Jesus was about. But Jesus makes it clear in Matthew 18. Paul brings it up here. We're not talking about those people who you know, want to do better, who's made mistakes but want to do better, or who's maybe lived a life of slavery and bondage to sin for years and years and years, over and over, walking, failing. And now they have freedom in Christ. But it's new. What do we do? You know, hey, I need help. I'm not talking about the people who want to do better or who make a mistake and want to know more. I'm talking about people who refuse biblical correction, who refuse the gospel of Jesus, who teach something different. That's what Paul was addressing here. They're teaching something different. Those who are wrong and cause divisions, those who are unappeasable, those who insist that they're right no matter what you say or what you do or how much you love or how much grace you give or how much patience. So after we show the utmost patience and trying to reason with someone like that, after we open the word with them, after we love them, after we pray with them and love them and love them and love them, if there's still no effort to follow Christ, no change in tune of teaching a false gospel like was going on here in Galatia, there comes to a time to reject those bad influences and be done with them. So that we protect the name of Christ, we protect the church of Christ, and we protect the teaching of Christ. So that's what was going on here in Galatia. People were trying to distort the gospel, and Paul said, look, don't distort the gospel. The gospel's perfect. The gospel's God's gift. The gospel is for you. Just like it's a promise by God, said by God, given by God, fulfilled by God. Just like God promised Sarah a son, and God gave Sarah a son, and God blessed his nation through that son. Because God said it, God fulfilled it, God did it. It's the same thing he did with Christ. God said it, God fulfilled it, God did it. And through faith in him and faith alone, we are sons and daughters of freedom. Amen. In Christ. So it's part of the application. It flows from the allegory. It stems from the history. So, who's your mama? Which side of the story are you on? Slave or free? Are you living in slavery or are you living in freedom? There's some of you in this room that may be living in slavery. You don't know Christ. You've never surrendered your life to Christ. You've never given your life for Jesus to be Savior and Lord of your life. And you are living in as a slave to sin. And Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Come to me. Be a child of freedom. Join the family. God's building his family, heavenly city here on earth through the gospel of Jesus. If you are a follower, if you are a believer, take heed of these applications that Paul was giving the church of Galatia. All right, be children of promise. Live in that promise. Don't go back to the yoke of slavery that we've been set free from. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, help us. God, help us understand these things. God, your word is so rich. God, it's so thick. It's so amazing. It's hard for us to keep things straight sometimes. God, even like Peter said of Paul's teaching, sometimes they're difficult to understand. So God, we pray, God, right now, by your Spirit, that you would unveil our minds. God, you would lift that veil of our mind and our heart and help us see the things that maybe that we didn't see before this service. God, are the things that we couldn't see. God, help us. God, I pray, help us. Press these truths on our heart. God, on our soul, as only you can. Change our thinking. God, we're necessary. God, to solidify and clarify our standing before you. God, to spur us on in our living. God, Lord, we surrender ourselves to you. God, we surrender ourselves to you so that you can change us right now. God, and give us the courage to live it out. God, give us the courage to live it out. God, we love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. As we stand and sing together, our worship team comes and gets ready. Let me challenge you. Let me challenge you. Are you living in freedom or are you living in slavery? Are you a part of family of promise? Are you part of the family of bondage? Christ has set us free, in whom the Son sets free. We're free indeed. Worship team, let's sing. You guys stand with us.